Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, the latest on the healthcare front in the Chippewa Valley, where there's a growing amount to be encouraged by. Plus, one congressman expresses concerns about refugee resettlement transparency. The latest on the political front, and our Caleb Swenson talks with Danny Graham, the Eau Claire Area School District Coordinator of the Homeless Program. As our 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign wraps up for Feed My People this very day. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. We begin with this week, Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative announced their plans to establish a full-service, independent, nonprofit hospital in Lake Halley, aiming for a fall 2027 opening. This development aims to address the healthcare void left by the closures of HSHS Sacred Heart Hospital and HSHS St. Joe's Hospital earlier this year. Democratic State Representative Jody Emerson issued the following statement in response.
The Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative's commitment to building a new hospital in Lake Halley and possibly reopening St. Joseph's Hospital is a crucial advancement in restoring essential healthcare services to our communities.
Emerson says,
their dedication to providing comprehensive local governed care is commendable and thus vital for the well-being of the residents.
Emerson adds,
I'm also thrilled to see how many other places are opening up to fill our health care gap in these trying times.
Meanwhile, Emerson says,
despite the legislature's approval and Governor Evers' signing of the $15 million allocation to address hospital closure crisis, the Joint Finance Committee has yet to release these funds. The delay in releasing the allocated $15 million is completely unacceptable. Our community cannot afford further postponements in reestablishing critical healthcare services.
Emerson says,
I urge the Joint Finance Committee to act immediately to release these funds. If these funds were released now, it could be immediately put to use by organizations across the Chippewa Valley.
However, wire service coverage of this story cited Republican lawmakers as saying that Emerson needs to blame Governor Evers for the delay, noting that he changed the plan to spend the money and no longer wants to earmark the cash strictly for ER services to make up for a lack of emergency care without Sacred Heart or St. Joe's, which is how the initial bill, which passed the Republican-controlled legislature, indicated. Emerson did not have a direct response to that, but did say,
I reaffirm my commitment to advocating for sustained funding and support for healthcare infrastructure in the Chippewa Valley. Ensuring that our region has access to quality healthcare services remains one of my top priorities.
And finally, Emerson says,
I will continue to fight for the necessary resources to support our hospitals and healthcare providers.
In a related item this week, the Chippewa Valley Health Cooperative said they're looking to see if it makes sense to reopen St. Joe's. Co-op manager Dr. Eric Dixon says it'll be 2 or 3 years before the co-op can build and open a new hospital in Lake Halley, and he says there's a need to help people right now, and reopening St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls could fill that need. Dixon says the co-op will spend the next month studying the plan to reopen St. Joe's, and he says if it's a go, St. Joe's could be open for patients as early as next fall. Meanwhile, Chippewa County says the area also needs a psychiatric hospital now that Sacred Heart and St. Joe's have closed. The county board this week in Chippewa County passed a resolution asking either the state legislature or Congress to provide more money to treat people who need to spend the night or more than a night in a psychiatric facility. Right now, those people are usually taken to Winnebago, and the county is billed for their stay. But Chippewa County Human Services Director Tim Easker says that's expensive and not always available. The resolution doesn't say just how much Chippewa County needs or just how many patients the county has seen. Meanwhile, also in the news this week, Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany fired off a letter to the Bureau of Refugee Programs for the Evers administration in Madison asking about plans to send Afghan and Ukrainian refugees to Marathon County. Tiffany says, just like in the Eau Claire refugee case in the last year plus, in his view, there aren't a lot of answers about, as the Wire story frames it, who these people are, unquote, and just where they're coming from. Tiffany says he has no faith in the Biden administration's attempts to vet refugees. And he says he hopes that Evers' administration is doing a better job. So this takes me back to our conversation with Jody Jewell, community engagement specialist with World Relief out of the Eau Claire office, where in our November 17th program, we talked with her about just who is a refugee and how comprehensive a job of vetting is going on for refugees.
A refugee is a legal form of immigration, and refugee is an internationally recognized legal status. They're people who have had to flee their home country because of war, violence, or persecution, or a well-founded fear of persecution, for one of five reasons, due to their race, their religion, their political opinion, national origin, or membership in a particular social group. And so refugees have fled their home country and have gone to the UNHCR, which is the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, and they've applied for refugee status. Once they've applied for refugee status, they live in refugee camps, and they go through, if it's determined that they get referred to be resettled in the United States, they go through vetting for the United States, which includes all eight federal agencies. It includes multiple background checks, interviews, biometric screenings, medical screenings. Typically, that process takes 24 to 36 months. And if it's determined that they pass all of those screenings, then they can come to the U.S. at the approval and the welcome of the U.S. government on a plane. And so they've arrived here. They have legal status, and they're able to work from the moment they set foot on U.S. soil, which is different than the process of an asylum seeker, and is different than some of the undocumented situations that we've been hearing about.
Helpful information there and helpful perspective just on who a refugee is and just how credible is the vetting process that they go through. Sounds pretty serious to me. Meanwhile, Tom Tiffany's name coming up as a possible candidate for governor. Now, Governor Evers last Sunday on the statewide syndicated show Upfront was noncommittal about whether or not he'll run for governor. He says he'll make that announcement at a later time. He's holding out the possibility he may run, but recently in the journal Sentinel, they threw out some possible candidates for governor, and one of those they mentioned as a possibility is Tom Tiffany. Of course, served in the legislature for a long time before becoming a Republican congressman in the 7th District. Other Republican names suggested as a possibility include former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish, who lost even in the Republican primary process last time to businessman Tim Michaels. They mentioned also Washington County Executive Josh Shaman and businessman Bill Berrien. On the Democratic side, if Governor Evers didn't run, other possible candidates for governor in 2026 thought to be Attorney General Josh Call, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, certainly Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and also Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Also on the political front this week, voters in western Wisconsin could very likely see a rematch of Derek Van Orden and Rebecca Cook in 2026. I would consider it likely at this point. Cook pointing out this week that she outpaced both Kamala Harris and Tammy Baldwin in the 3rd Congressional District. And she points out she was just 3 points away from winning the race against Van Orden. Van Orden saying on Twitter that Cook spent a lot of money to lose, and he says he's not sure she can do any better in 2026. We'll have to see. And finally, today marks the end of our 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign to help FEMBIN people. As we told you last week, for the entire broadcast, numerous businesses had generously given over $5,000 to support Feed My People with the two-month challenge to all of us in the Wibwogo listening area to match or double or hopefully possibly even triple what they'd given. Now, again, with Feed My People, $1 leads to two meals. So you get the idea. $10, 20 meals, $50, 100 meals, so on and so forth. And it's our goal to turn that $5,000 into $10,000, maybe $15,000. That could mean as many as 20 or 30,000 meals through Feed My People. Well, on Friday's WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB, our Caleb Swenson spoke with Danny Graham, who wears a lot of hats. She's the Eau Claire Area School District Coordinator of the Homeless Program. She is also their heads up their Eau Claire Area School District Closet, the Weekend Kids Meals Program, as well as Foster Care Services. Here's their conversation.
We're so blessed to be joined by Danny Graham. Danny, welcome back. I know a lot of times, whether it's our Backpack to School Challenge or here 60 Ways in 60 Days, we welcome you in for your perspective on the need in the area, and it's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning, everyone.
Now, again, if folks haven't heard you before, could you share a little bit about your role with the Eau Claire School District? Because you work, I guess boots on the ground might be the best term, with those who are struggling a lot of times with need and some of them very significant needs like homelessness.
Absolutely. So I work very closely with families in the Eau Claire Area School District that are struggling with homelessness, and also foster care families. And then part of my job is to connect with Feed My People and make sure that we have food options for kids to bring home to have food on the weekends.
And I think a lot of times we do this campaign 60 ways in 60 days every year, Lord willing, and we do it for a couple months. But I think it's easy to ignore sometimes and say someone else will take care of that need, or it's probably not as big as they're talking about. I mean, Feed My People expects to serve 80,000 people in our listening area this year. But it, sometimes it's hard if we don't see it in person. It's hard to understand how vast that need really is. And you were telling me off the air that what you see just in the Eau Claire area, and again, Feed My People serves a 14-county area, but just in your area in the school district, the need has increased pretty drastically.
Absolutely. We're just seeing a lot of families just struggling so much more, and they are so grateful to get the help that they do, but there is a lot of struggle out there, and it is just continuing well past the holiday season, of course. And Feed My People, as I learn more and more about what they do, man, there's all I have to say is Feed My People has a very big heart and a big job to do because they serve so many families and pantries. I had no clue of what they do, but they have a very big job, and it's a basic need. It's food. You know, there it doesn't get more basic than that. And so the support that they have from our community is so vital. So anybody giving anything is just, they really make a family's, you know, meal. You put the food on the table to help a family who otherwise has to decide whether they get to eat tonight or not.
Danny, can we focus on this for just a moment, especially the children's side of things? Because you talk about that most basic of needs. Again, was it Maslow's hierarchy of need? I mean, it's just, food is the most basic need. When a child does not have adequate food, what does that do to not only their outlook on life, but their interactions with other children, with teachers? What does that do when that most basic need is missing, not filled?
So it rules out anything else they can really think about. That becomes, of course, it's a survival thing. You need food. So that's all they get to think about at that point. They're hungry, and then they can't concentrate. And it is attached to their self-worth. They feel like, I don't have food, therefore I don't deserve food. You know, I don't deserve things. And look at these other kids that do have it. They deserve more than I do. And it becomes a self-esteem thing. So it's so much more than just having something to eat. It really embeds in a child what they deserve in life. And of course, we want to build our kids in our community and make sure that they become, you know, great adults that, you know, are very productive. And having a low self-esteem is not going to be helpful. So plus health, yeah. You know, medical health, you need good food to have good health. So food is just so darn important for our kids.
I mean, think about what you're just saying there too. For a child to think, I'm not worth enough to be fed. I mean, just the most, and at such a young age, having those thoughts of I'm not worth enough, there's something, must be something wrong with me. Yep. And this is a fixable problem. It's such a fixable problem. Mm-hmm. And again, I just plead with people to empathize with this. Even if you're blessed enough to have never experienced this, praise the Lord for that. But think of those who are struggling. And again, there's lots of wonderful, worthy organizations to give to, but Feed My People is dealing with one of those most basic needs of food. So we're asking if you would help with this. And I think it's always important as well, Danny, because I know we can have a tendency to judge and to think that people put themselves into these situations or put their children into these situations. And if they would just do this, or if they hadn't done this, and could you speak to that? Because I know you've talked to us before about not only how grateful these parents are, but how much it tears them apart to wish so desperately they could provide for their children when they're working hard and there's just not enough.
Yeah, most of the families, I work very closely with all the families, and most of them are working. You know, they are trying to meet the bills and do what they're supposed to do, and it's just not enough, especially as we've seen, you know, things increase, prices of things increase in our area, and they are just trying so hard. And yet they're at the end of the day, that money just is not stretching to the point that they can really make sure that they have food and everything else for their child. And all my families love their kids. I mean, everybody loves their kids. They just don't always have the means to do what they can. And that's where they turn to their neighbors and the people around them and say, I really want the best for my kid. I want my kid to be able to eat. You know, please lend a hand.
And I think what I've seen so many times working with Feed My People and seeing some of these local hunger relief agencies, food pantries and such, so often when someone has received help, they're one of the first ones to volunteer and help out on their own when they get back on their feet.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you see that as well, too.
Even offering items, you know, clothing items and such to families for their kids. I often have families say, well, I have some stuff to donate. I can bring, you know, they understand, they appreciate what is being given to them. And they understand the power of also contributing and being a part of it. And they try to do what they can. It's so wonderful. And they are so wonderful.
And friends, we are asking you to do what you can. Would you join us again in this year's 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign? The matching challenge ends this Sunday. We have those $5,000 gift of $5,000 collectively from our sponsors, but we're trying to double it. But Lord, could we triple it? Could we triple it by Sunday? And honestly, that might be somebody listening right now that could give a pretty large gift to help us get there. But it's giving what you can, what the Lord moves you to give. So maybe that's $5 for 10 meals, $20 for 40 meals. Maybe you can give $100 or $500. It's giving what you can to say, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by, the opportunity to experience the joy of sharing with others. Danny, thank you so much for joining us today. And we hope folks will go to wwib.com/60ways. And friends, WWIB matching challenge is what you put in the comments section if you're able to help with this. But Danny, thank you so much for your perspective.
You.
Again, I don't think there's ever been a time when we've talked on the air that I haven't had tears rolling down my face at the end. But thank you for your heart. And I just hope that we can show these children that they are so valuable, that they are loved. Again, as a Christian station too, we believe that everyone is made in the image of their creator, the image of God. And we want to show them that they are worthwhile, that they have value.
I love it. Thank you so much, everyone. God bless you.
Caleb Swenson with Danny Graham, the Eau Claire Area School Director of their homeless program, their closet, as well as weekend kids meals and foster care services. Certainly doing a lot of fantastic work. On this, the final day for our 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign, please, please help. You've heard about this. If you haven't given yet, please consider giving whatever you can. Just go to WWIB.com. Click on the big red banner there on top of the page where it says, click here to help Feed My People Food Bank through this year's 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign. And please put WWIB Matching Challenge in the comments section when you give. Also covering on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, healthcare progress being made in the Chippewa Valley, political developments, and refugee resettlement. That does it for Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.